This is Hawkseye Guns Podcast. Hello and welcome to Hawkseye Guns. This week, Sean eats a ton of crow. I mentioned just the other day, or just earlier, that when I make fun of a firearm when it comes out and say, oh, who is this for? I don't even understand what's going on. You know, just like a typical firearms dick, right?
Yes.
So we were...
And even then, I don't know where you're going with this, but if you remember last time we talked about this stuff, we were talking about the new lever action from Smith & Wesson.
Oh, sure.
And we were trying to figure out why it was so expensive in some places, and I went and did a lot of research, and I came out more confused than I was, because depending on where you buy them, they are so wildly varied in price. The MSRP on them is actually, you know, right about the same thing as... an original Marlin or something of that nature. But there's everything from holy crap, that's cheap, to holy shit, what are you thinking, expensive. And everything in between. I have no clue how they're pricing them.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. I haven't seen anything that suggests to me that it should be that expensive. But I've seen it on display at a gun range for that amount of money. And for the life of me, like for more than a Henry, like significantly more than a Henry, like you could buy two Henrys for what this thing was going for of the same caliber. And I'm like, I truly do not understand it.
But that's not even what the MSRP on it is, you know, and usually guns go for a little bit less than their MSRP. These things are going. And the funny thing is that I can find places where you can buy them at a reasonable, just under MSRP price. And then you've got places. It's kind of like, what
is that?
So I just to follow up on that from last cast, anybody who's actually still listening. I came away from that research even more confused than I started.
I went to a range close to me. It's kind of one of those range / gun store type things. I think a lot of them are like that, but they have a really nice selection of some really quality select firearms. You can buy some really cool stuff there. And I saw a Gerson I almost had to have there a little while ago. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But one of the things that I saw there was that Smith & Wesson. And it was going for like $2,300. I'm like, I had to grab the guy. I'm like, I don't understand this pricing. Can you explain to me? Like, you have a Henry right over there in the same caliber that, in my humble opinion, looks better, right? And I know functions better. I have one, okay? Like, it's lovely. Why is this more than twice that? He goes, oh, that's just what they go for. And I'm like, tell me how. How many of these have you sold? Like, why?
Had he sold any?
He wouldn't tell me. He's like, well, no, that's just what these go for. And I'm like, I don't understand. You know, help me understand. You know, I didn't get it. I still don't get it. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe Smith in the lever action, they're kind of, unless there's something I don't know about, like maybe the action's like super machined, or I mean, does it do something else that normal lever actions don't? I don't know. I really don't.
Look, I've watched videos on them. I've seen reviews on them. Basically, the answer is it's a firearm. it doesn't do anything special.
It's a Smith.
Nobody's saying that it's a bad firearm, but at the same time, it's kind of like, yeah.
I'm sure it's a quality rifle. I just don't understand why it's priced, at least in my area. I've only seen one, okay? I've only seen one in the wild, and it was behind a glass case, or in a glass case. It was lit from the bottom. It was $2,300, and I could not for the life of me, looking over that case at a Henry that was $1,100, and beautifully tooled and engraved, I didn't understand how the Smith was more than twice as expensive. I still don't. In the same caliber. I don't know. I really don't. But to my point, here's more stuff I didn't understand, and now I'm having to eat that crap.
Gerson makes a decent firearm.
Huh?
Gerson makes a decent firearm.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not even the Gerson I got to eat. I'm going to eat more of that in a second. This is set the Wayback Machine to about a year or two ago, maybe a year ago. Remember when SIG came out with the 365 and 380, and I said, I don't know who the hell this is for because everybody was just going to buy the 9mm?
Oh, no. That has a place for anybody who can't handle the recoil of a 9mm in a firearm that small. The 380 is great.
Yeah, Shannon wants one.
how many times have I told you that if you put a 365 in her hands, she's going to fall in love with it?
Oh, my God. She held one. I can't remember where we were. We were somewhere. It was a big box store. I think it was Shields the other day. And I was looking at, because I have my P238 Legion, and I love it. I love it. I love that gun.
Did I make a SIG slut out of you?
It is super neat. And they had a 238 Scorpion in the used case. And I'm like, oh, man. You know, I could deal with
it. I thought you didn't like, as you said, tactical peanut butter. And that's what the Scorpion is.
It is a tactical peanut butter one, but it was for $275. Or no, $175.
Okay, used. Under those circumstances, why didn't you call me if you weren't gonna buy it? I would have. I don't even have that, but I still would have bought it.
It was $175. And I'm like, and the reason it was $175 is it was missing all the magazines. It had no magazines, and one of the grips was cracked.
So still,
you're going to have to replace all the magazines and the grips. So I mean, it was kind of a basket case.
But for me, that's perfectly fine because the grip, fine, you can replace the grips. That's not disgustingly expensive. All I need is one magazine because all I carry one of those for is to get me to the one in my backpack.
Right. So I was like, you know, I have 3 magazines for the Legion. I was thinking, oh, well, I'd have to buy because the Scorpion and the Legion don't use the same magazine. And I was looking up how much the magazines were, and there was like $165 for the gun or $175 for the gun, and I'd have to spend another $35-$40 on a magazine. But still, this was not bad. You know, like you're in under $225, right? Lock, stock, and, you know, most of the
barrel. Once again, for a firearm that generally retails at least 5 or 6, typically.
Right. And I was like, you know, this isn't bad. But they weren't able to move it because it was kind of ugly looking because the grip was obviously cracked. There was a chip out of it, and it had no magazine. And it had a little thing on the tag that underneath it said, no magazines, grip is cracked, you know. Or grip plate cracked, and it just wasn't moving. So I was looking at it and everything, and the guy was sitting there with the case open, and Shannon's like, can I see that? And he's like, sure. You know, he's standing there not doing anything but watching me hem and haw over something. So she pulls out a used SIG 365 and 380. And she's like, oh, wow. I wasn't paying attention because I was trying to figure out, you know, is this or, you know, what is it and everything. Now, the one she grabbed was the Rose. So if you don't know, SIG.
That's the Mikulik one?
Exactly. That's the Lena Mikulik one or Michalik, whatever her name is. Her firearm that she worked with SIG with, and if you've never seen it, it looks just like a regular 365 380, only all the control surfaces are rose gold. Shannon hated that. She doesn't like a blinging gun, but she loved the gun. Loved it. Absolutely fell in love with it. She's like, I must have one of these.
Now, now consider the fact that they are physically the exact same size. Is she stuck on the 380?
Yeah, because it kicks less, and she doesn't have the wrist strength that she used to.
No argument from me there. I was just curious.
Yeah, I mean, because it's the exact same size, you know. Like you're saying.
I will admit that 380 is more pleasant to shoot. It's also more expensive to shoot.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's like 10 to 15% more expensive to shoot.
And I'm cheap.
Yeah, and that's fine. I prefer the quiet, like I love 380s. I prefer the mildness or the less muzzle flip and less kickback from a 380. I can normally control the round a lot better, especially when you're talking micros or subcompacts. I much prefer a 380. I can put the bullet on target within a very short amount of time with a 380, with the 380s that I have. I shouldn't say any 380. With the 380s that I have and practice with, I can do very well and place the shot where I need to go under 15 yards. Not a problem. 9mm are a little heavier. I need a bigger framed 9mm to keep a hold of it, if that makes sense. And maintain that shot pattern, which doesn't lend itself to concealed carry particularly well. Like if I could carry a full framed 92 FS, I'd be fine. You know, but generally speaking,
if you gained another 50 pounds, you'd be fine.
But yeah, I had to eat that a little bit because I'm like, who is this? You know, a year or two ago, I was like, who is this for? Well, it's for Shannon.
I told you if you put a 365 in her hands, she'd love it.
She'd loved it. She absolutely loved it. She thought it was just the coolest thing. It felt really good. You know, she goes, oh my God, it feels like a Walther. She goes, it's so small and it's so, you know, she loved the how grippy the handle was and the control surfaces were everywhere she could reach them.
And she'll double the round count that she can carry in her Walther.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I was like, look, you don't realize this, but this carries this has a lot more capacity than your CCPM2, which is I think an 8+1, because it's single stack only.
With the extended magazine, it's 8+1.
Right. So, which she has
with the standard magazine, the non extended one, you're probably getting 12 out of a 380 with the SIG.
Yeah, I mean it's not bad, you know. And you're like, okay, well this. This makes it. Now she had a hold of not the flat plated one. It was the extended magazine. So that's, yeah. I think the standard one is 10. And then I think the extended one is 11 or 12. I think.
That's the way it is for the 9mm. I always just assumed that you could get an extra one or two in with the 380.
Yeah. I don't know for sure, but, apparently we're going to find out because she's like, look, when I get another job, you know, she's hunting for another gig. When I get another gig, I'm having one of these. I'm like, you want something like in addition to your CCPM2? She goes, oh no, if I had this, I could trade my CCPM2. I'm like,
well, you could get it back then.
I'm like, that is strong words. She goes, this is so nice.
I told you, nobody listens to me.
It was really nice. I'm going to say, it was pretty cool. But in the...
Hey, and remember, even I even got what it is that she... Not that I'm looking to get rid of it. I even got what she likes. I've got the two-tone one.
I know.
I've got the stainless steel slide on the black grip.
See? Well,
though mine's not for sale. That's like that's the one of the two handguns I have that will never go anywhere.
Yeah, it's like my Cheetah. Like I will not sell my Cheetah. That is my gun, and no one, like, I'll die with that one. I still carry it. I love my Cheetah. But the Legion is kind of rapidly becoming one I won't get rid of either. One, because it would be very difficult to replace because they didn't make a ton of them and they stopped making them. So it'd be really difficult to find that in the Legion style stuff. However, I have more crow to eat.
Uh-oh.
It's so bad, dude. So I mentioned Gersom.
I'll admit that though things may have changed, that though I've liked a lot of the replicas that they've made, they make a really nice replica 1911. As with everything, everybody else, they make a replica of the M9 from Beretta. But their actual own firearms that they manufactured, at the time that I was selling, I was not a fan of them. They may have changed. I don't know. I haven't seen them. But
I shot a replica. All right. They have a replica of the Browning High Power. It's called the MCP-35. Oh,
that's right. I forgot they made one of those too.
Yeah, they made one. Well, a buddy of mine got one. I was at the range shooting the other day with my buddy. He had just gotten a brand new Gerson, and you know, like he's a Browning nut. He collects everything Browning, right? Sort of like I do Winchester and Remington. Like if there's an 870, I will buy it. If there's a Winchester, I will buy it. He is that way with Browning. He loves everything Browning. Although where I am just shotguns, he is anything Browning. And his problem is a Browning High Power is not cheap.
No.
like, and I'm not talking like the new stuff they have where, you know, it's a, you know, a clone or something like that. No. Like if you want an old school, and this is the his thing, like if you want an old school Browning High Power, I don't even know what they go for on Gunbroker. Hold on, I will check. But I know like the new ones, like the 75th anniversary one, is like $1,200 retail. And you're just like, no. I don't have that to spend on just this, you know. So his thing was he didn't have, oh, I don't want to enter a god, I hate Gunbroker when it does the thing. Burning High Power. It's like I know I have my stuff. Okay.
And all the manufacturers spent too much time watching John Wick last year because everybody's come out with a 2011 now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So you can get.
I'm sitting here just because because I'm an addict. It's kind of like the alcoholics who won't go into a bar, because I can't afford one, and I am an addict right now. I've been like avoiding these things for some extent. So I just kind of like looked up new firearms for 2024 as we're sitting here talking, and everything is a 2011.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Okay, so here we go. Browning High Power Original Belgium High Power Centennial, $1,900. Browning High Power 9mm, 80% engraving, $8,000. Browning High Power Original, $1,500. So, I mean, these things aren't cheap. Here's one that's the advanced. It's $3,900. Military, $2,100. These are not cheap. An original Browning High Power, not cheap. Not a cheap firearm. So he went and bought the Gerson, which is, he's like, look, I always wanted a high power. I want to see if I like it. I let me just see. You know, so he went and bought, for those of you who are casually looking, it's an MCP-35, and he got the two-tone one. So it's kind of silver and gray. I was seriously impressed. Now, we were shooting basically match-grade ammo out of it. So, I mean, it was not the cheap stuff. But we didn't have a jam all day. It ran clean the entire time. We probably put 150 rounds through it, between him and me. And man, it just ate it up. I mean,
Okay. I have to interrupt you. I have to. I apologize, because as I'm sitting here scrolling through, I'm seeing the best value rimfire firearm for 2024, the Heritage 6.5 Rough Rider Black Tactical Cowboy.
I know. I've seen it.
Well, no. That was our holy grail. That was the last gun that I had to basically say, I can't buy this because my kid's going to college. If you remember correctly, I had one like put aside for me. And it was kind of like, shit, even something that expensive, I can't do it right now. But I'm sitting here looking at the going, this is really the best Rimfire firearm for 2024.
It is. It is. I'm telling you, man. Okay. Okay. A couple of things. Now, I have a Heritage Rough Rider. Okay. It was the first. This, here's a little lore for you. It was the first gun I ever bought myself was a Heritage Rough Rider.
Does it have carbon fire grips and a red dot?
It, in fact, does not. It has a bird's head handle and really crappy sights. And
this picture's got a Trigicon red dot on the top of it.
I got to tell you, man, I love that pistol. Like, everybody can make fun of the Heritages and everything like that. I had a holster that was probably cost more than the gun made for it. Made for it. Not I bought one. No. Made for it. I want to look like John Wayne. Get it in ox blood leather, okay? Made for it. I love that gun.
Most comfortable to shoot concealed carry firearm for 2024, according to this particular website, which is Field and Stream, by the way. The Sig Sauer P365 380.
Damn it. I'm going to wind up buying one of those. You know I'm going to wind up buying one of those for her. She's going to want it. She's going to want it. She's already told me she's going to have it. And my problem isn't that I begrudge her the firearm. My problem isn't even that it's not a great gun. It is a great gun. My problem is every time I talk crap about something, I wind up owning one. For whatever reason. And it bothers me because I'm too dumb. Right? Like I'm too dumb not to know what I want.
Look, I know I'm a slut for Sig Sauer, but this is definitely the one I'm going to be doing the I told you so on.
God, you did too. You were like, no, she's going to love that. As soon as she grabs one, as soon as she wraps her hand around one, she's going to want one.
I think she'd still lug the 9mm. But the 380, considering, you know, once again, just time and age and stuff like that, is probably 10 times more comfortable for her.
Yeah, probably. You know, especially since she had her aneurysm and stroke and lost a little bit of muscle tone and stuff like that, the 380 seems to perform better for her in all respects. Like, she took, we went to the range, I guess a couple of months ago, and she wanted to see the Legion, right? Because she's like, wow, that's neat. It looks like a 1911. And I'm like, well, that's because it was based on one. I said, it has the same kind of action, the same kind of thing. You know, it's just shrunk down. It's a little bitty 380. And she's like, oh, wow, I have to shoot this. And she shot it. She's like, actually, that's really well behaved. Why is that like that? And I'm like, well, it's because it's a 380. Right. And she's like, oh, I didn't know Sig made 380s. And alarm bells started rolling around in my head. I'm like, uh-oh. And because the only SIGs that she's ever had her hands on is when she worked for the Fed. She was a federal law enforcement officer, and they gave her
a 226, most likely.
A 226 in 40. And
which I don't even want to shoot.
She hated it. She's like, it's too much. It was too much to handle. I loved the gun, but it was really a lot, and I couldn't do well with it because Shannon gets expert marks every time she goes to shoot, and she could not make that 226 behave because it's just too big for her. The caliber, not the actual frame of the firearm.
Actually, the frame of the firearm for a 226 is too big for me.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that was back
a 229 I'd take, but not a 226.
That was back when she was like 29. So I mean, she could manhandle that then. She could just kind of power through it, and it was fine, right? But what she couldn't power through was the 40 caliber, right? That was way too much for her. And they wouldn't back off of the 40. Like, she asked for a 9, like, is there a Beretta, or is there any, like, a Glock, like, anything I can use that is not this 40 caliber thing? And they're like, no, we all use 40 calibers now. That's what we're moving to. And, you know, and now, 2 years later, they move back down to a 9mm.
Because, for that reason.
Yeah, for that, exactly right, reason.
They had too many people who couldn't qualify with the 40 caliber.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get it's a higher powered bullet. I mean, for sure. I mean, it's wonderful. The ballistics on it just kick a 9mm butt, but if you can't hit anything with it, it doesn't do you any good, which is why I like a 380, you know, like I can hit things with a 380, reliably every time. I practice with it all the time. It's great. It's fine. I can do that.
Hell, we've talked about it before. The most accurate firearm I ever shot, the one that I had the closest, most beautiful groupings with, was the least pleasant firearm ever to shoot.
Walther PPK?
Exactly.
You know, I had the knockoff of that. I had the Bursa Thunder 380. And I got to tell you, I shot wonderful groups with that. I had to go all the way to a Beretta Cheetah to achieve...
Sorry, the dog's coughing.
I couldn't hear a thing. I had to go all the way to a Beretta Cheetah to achieve the same pattern that I did, that I got with a Bursa 380. It was an unbelievably accurate firearm. However, it would literally, and I'm not, this isn't an exaggeration, this isn't alliteration, it would literally leave me bloody from the slide bite.
Yeah, my brother still has mine, and he'll every time he's over and done with it, his hands are bloody, and he's like, I still love it.
I mean, I get it. I mean, the gun performs well. Like, if you just look at the target, it's an unbelievable gun. The problem is, you know, like I like my hands. I don't, like, I've shot other stuff enough to know that I don't have, like, you don't have to go through that. There's tons of other guns out there that perform very well, which is why I chased the Cheetah for what, 2 years. I wanted to get my hands on one. Because at the time they weren't really making them anymore, and I had a specific couple that I wanted. I didn't want the PP. I wanted the double stack one and the BB, I should say. I wanted one of the single stack ones because it was a little slimmer and it would hide a little bit better. All that stuff. And then I found one, and Beretta started making the Cheetah again, like 2-3 years later.
Yes, and you've convinced yourself that you don't like that one.
Actually, I don't. It's got... They messed up the backstrap. And I was really upset because I was going to buy one. I was going to buy one. I was going to get the launch edition one, the two-toned. It's so pretty. And, you know, it had the fiber optic sights. It was like all the stuff, and it was updated and everything, and I shot it, and I hated it. Like, damn it! I am super glad I didn't sell my other one first to get the money for it.
Oh yeah,
I'd have been pissed. It would have been like you and the HK, right? Like, I'm going to sell this, and then I'm going to buy it back.
You know? Fuck.
Oh wait. Do you have an HK right now?
Yeah, no, I tried to get rid of the P30, and I just haven't been able to do it yet. it's sitting in the box and stuff like that, but it's more than anything else that I'm afraid that if I go into the gun store to sell it, that I'll actually come back with something else. And that's really what I'm trying to avoid at the moment.
Well, okay, I'll say this. All right, because I'm your friend, I will say this. Every time you get rid of that HK, you regret it.
No. Now, see, if what I would love to have back is an SK, but I've still just got the standard P30.
I thought, wait. Okay, so you
I know. I went in to actually exchange it, and the one that I went in to look at, because they had one that was used for an excellent deal, and when I went in to do it, it was already gone.
Yeah, because that's a pretty cool gun. Buono won't let go of that. He actually paid me real money for that.
Oh, yeah, for that SK.
I mean, he loved it. Yeah. Still does.
So the thing is that what I left in like disappointment and took my P30 with me. What I really need to do is go back to the gun store and just sell the P30 and walk away from it.
Mm.
but I'm actually to the point where I'm like, I've got the itch at the moment. So I'm worried that if I go in that I'd actually like come out with something, God forbid there was a good deal, and I can't do that right now.
Oh, I understand. I actually got to scratch my itch for $165. So I,
yeah, no such luck on that one for me. Anything that I would want right now is because after the experience with the HK, I'm doubling down on my preference for the 6 hour. I'm very much the way that Shannon's done with her Walthers in the past. I know I shoot them well. I like them. They're comfortable, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm kind of going back to that, but they're also one of the few firearms right now whose prices have not come down. They've gone up.
No, they really have.
Smith & Wesson prices have come way down. CZ prices have come way down. A lot of these prices have come way back down again, but Glock and SIG are going up.
Glock and SIG are going up. Beretta's kind of holding. When you're talking pistols, I'm talking pistols only, okay? But Beretta's kind of holding. You'll see a lot of deals on the PX4. Taurus is holding. I mean, like a lot of them are kind of holding, but you're right. CZ's come down. SIG has not come down at all. In fact, you're right. They have gotten like 10, 20 bucks more expensive. For the same firearm that you could have purchased last year, they are $20, $25 more expensive now today. For the 365, I totally get it. It's a wonderful gun.
They're the ones that are still very much in demand.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, you know. I mean, it's people are willing to spend that on them. I'm curious to see how much people making knockoffs and the clones have eaten into Glock's target market. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder how much Taurus and Gerson and Canik and all the rest of those guys who are making Glock Gen 3 clones better than Glock have eaten away at their market share. I really am curious about it because I see them and I would rather have any of those other guns than a Glock.
Yeah, but for the people who are really, really into Glocks, like, for example, I'm willing to look at a SIG clone. Not that there's any of them really out there.
Sure.
But the people who are really into Glocks, you know, there's a reason why we call them Glock tarts.
I mean, I get it. I do. You know, you get into a system and that system becomes the system for you. I totally understand that. You know, like I bit hard on that with a Remington 870 and a Winchester 1200, yeah, Mossberg 500, you know.
My problem still with Glocks, beyond the fact that I just don't personally shoot them very well, but as far as just is that the whole thing about buying a Glock is the first thing you do when you buy a Glock is replace all the parts on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Starting with the trigger, normally. Which should be, like, if you think about it logically, it should be what you buy the gun for, is a good action and a good trigger.
Yeah. And the sights.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, all of that goes first. Right? And you're like, okay, wait. Wait. Okay, you swapped all that. You bought, it's brand new. You've never even ran a magazine through it, and you're swapping the sights and the trigger. Yeah, why? Because they're terrible. Okay.
Then why?
Then why are you buying it? You know, like, you spent $500 on this firearm, and then you're going to go spend another $200, $300 on the trigger, the springs, the sights, you know, all the things. What is good about this? Well, it's got a great aftermarket. I'm like, it has to. It's terrible. Well, they haven't done anything since the 70s.
So it's at that point, it's like, then go buy one that's already been remade by Terran or something like that.
Right. Go buy a Terran Tactical. Right.
Like, but Terran, they moved over to Canix.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, oh, you know, like, well, and all right. I don't shoot a Canik. I don't have that. I don't know if you've looked at any of the recent Caniks, but first of all, I don't have any problem with them necessarily. I guess my only real problem is I have no need for one. You know, like I don't need that. You can buy a TP9, you know, the TP9 SF or the regular SF or something like that for under $500 at the store. Like today, you could walk down today and spend less on a Koenig than it would be for a Glock. And I guarantee you two things. One, you're going to like the sights better. And two, it's got a better trigger on it. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And even if you think they're crap when it comes to Taran, all they did is look at him and go, look, we're going to give you the frame. You put whatever trigger or sights, whatever you want on it. All it is the frame says Koenig on the side.
Right. Right. Because, you know, it's got, and like some of those Koenigs, like they've got fluted barrels. They've got, you know, they're Cerakoted. They're two-toned. They've got, I mean, they're threaded. They're compensated. And that's factory. Okay? That's factory. That isn't a special version. That's not pay $1,000 and here you can. They do have $1,000 guns. You know, they got the TTI combat stuff with Koenig. But you could go today and buy a really well-fitted gun for anywhere from $450 to $700 with Koenig, and it will outperform every out-of-the-box Glocks or every out-of-the-box Glock that exists today.
Okay, if you had it in you, now it doesn't have to. I know we're talking about handguns at the moment. It doesn't have to be a handgun, but if you had it in you today, within your means, we're not talking like dream gun, but within your means. And you just decided that you were going to go looking around and try to find a firearm today. What would it be?
Just any handgun or anything?
No. Just a gun. Something you don't have.
Something I don't have.
And once again, we're not talking like dream firearm. We're just talking within your means.
Within my means. It would be probably a Weatherby Sorix. I really want one of those.
Is it? Why can I not think of the Weatherby without thinking about it in a pretentious British accent?
Because George Weatherby played James Bond.
Okay, that maybe.
Yeah, it'd probably be a Weatherby Sorix.
Yeah, for me, it would probably either be, if I was looking for functional, it would be a 365X Macro to kind of replace the, you know, larger handgun that I like, just because of the fact that it's going to fit my hand better. Because it's the one with the 365 platform that'll actually hold 15 to 17 rounds.
Yeah.
Or just because I want to see whether or not I can handle it, I want to try the X10 with the compensator on the front of it. The 10 millimeter one.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like looking at it going, what? Okay.
It's the P365. It's the 10 millimeter version of the 320. It's a 10 millimeter 320 X model with the compensator on the front of it.
Oh my God. I just looked it up.
I just want to see if I can handle that sucker.
I just looked it up. That looks mean,
if I can
dude.
Actually have a 10 millimeter that I can handle, I would love it.
That's an awful lot of bullet.
Yeah, but it's just kind of one of those, what do you need that for? Bear country. But we don't have bears around here. Don't care.
But if we did, I'd have one.
You know? Hell, the 10 millimeter might even take one of your boars.
Oh, well, maybe. You know,
as I said, might.
In Fallout, it does great.
I'd still rather have the 44, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, in Fallout, it does great. You know, you get a 10 millimeter round. That's a fantastic gun. Kill almost anything with one of those things. And by the way, it's not George Weatherby. It's George Lazenby played James Bond. I don't know why George Weatherby sounds. Weatherby just sounds English, you know. But
actually, I know where it comes, why it does that to me, and it's a really, really, really a somewhat obscure reference. The Harry Potter books I did on audio. And the guy with the British accent reading it. And at one point in time, One of the Weasley brothers was trying to work for the ministry, and his boss couldn't remember his name and kept calling him Weatherby. So I hear that British accent in the back of my head going, Weatherby, get me a cup of tea. As I said, it's stupid and obscure, but that's why.
Yeah, I don't know. If it was a pistol, like if you nailed me down and said, I had to go get a pistol today, I don't know what I'd get. It might
if you nailed me down for a shotgun, I'd probably go get one of the new, they're not really new, but the 590 Retros from Mossberg.
You know, that's a well-built gun. I don't happen to like them because they're super freaking heavy, but it's a really nice gun.
Well, that's if I'm staying within my means. If I'm going without my means in a shotgun, I'm probably trying to buy one of the can't remember what the model number is, but it's the semi-automatic from ones that the Mikulik's made.
Yeah, the 940s. No, yes, the J40, 940 JM Pro.
Yes.
It is considered by many to be one of the finest target and three-gun shotguns available on the market. It is right up there, depending on who you ask.
Though I'm still looking for that model, I'm looking for the one with the tactical size barrel on it.
Oh, of course. Well, they make it. Make it. I mean, it's around. They know a winner when they see one. So they're putting 940 JMs on everything now. Like every model is going to come out with a 940 JM because it's.
Yeah, but that's a bit beyond my means at the moment.
Well,
it's not forever.
It's not a cheap gun to begin with. But if I was going for anything beyond my means, it would probably wind up being an Italian classic. the Benelli M4. Just because Wick had one, you know? But that thing isn't cheap. I mean, that's a several thousand dollar investment. And rigged out the way he had it, it's ridiculous expensive.
Oh, yeah.
How could you not have one? You know, like if money was no object, like how could you not have a Wick gun?
Hey, you know, I'd have a 2011 like that if that's, you know, money was no object. but you've got those are going from 7-8 grand.
Yeah. What's that? That's Jake's Pit Viper.
He doesn't shoot it. He just rubs it with a diaper.
Is he praying? No, he's saying my precious. There's a difference. When does he shoot it? Oh, he doesn't shoot it. It's never been loaded. He just rubs it with a cloth and oils it lightly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I couldn't do that either. Although a friend of mine did say if you could have any historical firearm, what would it be? And I'm like, well, now that's an interesting question. And I had to think about that for a little bit. And, because we were watching, it was that stupid-ass movie that time loop repeat movie that came out during COVID, Boss Level.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Where the girl had Adolf Hitler's Walther PPK. And
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, he's like, you paid, you know, I don't remember how much it was. How many thousand? I think it was like $750,000 for Adolf Hitler's, you know, Walther. And he's like, well, if you had to pick a gun, what historical gun, one not made in your lifetime, what firearm would it be? I had to think about that a little while, but the answer was very obvious to me after I thought about it. Broomhound to Mauser, a C96. Okay. You know, like,
but you're not even going to keep it that like that, though. You're going to make Han Solo's gun out.
If I got one with the original holster, you know, the wooden holster that actually worked, because they were really pretty crappy, and they didn't, most of them didn't survive the war. You got to get repros now to make them work. But if I got one that did work and had the original holster, I would keep it the same. I wouldn't alter it. But
I'd probably be looking for some sort of like vintage Winchester lever action of some fashion, form or the other.
Oh man, those are cool. Like an old Winchester lever action, old West gun, like in 30-30 or, you know, 454 or, you know, some kind of weird bear round or something.
4570.
Yeah. Like that. Oh my God. You know, I have never shot a 4570, and I can tell you exactly why. I have seen 4570 rifles. I have watched my friends shoot a 4570, and watching their shoulder and their upper torso jerk back from the concussion of the round and the blowback of the round.
There's only one thing I appreciate with that much recoil, and we've talked about it before, and that's when you see the rather attractive young lady laying there with her Barrett 50 caliber and just the way the ass jiggles.
Yeah, the recoil jiggle that she's got going on, it is fantastic in every way. I think she used to be in the Marine Corps or the Army or something like that. Cause she, you know,
well, I don't know what she, who you're talking about. I can find lists of she's that have done it.
Well, there's one with a particularly, prominent posterior blonde. And she's a caliber queen. She's a recoil queen. She loves big caliber guns, right? She loves that stuff. And she gets down on a mat and uses rifles that would break my clavicle. And just the ripple goes from her ponytail all the way back down to her rear end and back up. It is fantastic. One of my favorite TikTok channels. I don't even know her name. I've never heard her speak. I've just seen that. That's it. Oh crap. Well, before we get out of here, Jake, you got anything else, sir?
No, I'm just dreaming about what I can start thinking about purchasing in another, 2 years?
It's going to be fantastic, whatever it is.
I now understand why my dad called me after he sent his last check for my brother's college when said, I just got a $30,000 a year raise. I now understand what he meant by that, what he was feeling.
the giddy elation of making what you made before your kids started college. Oh my God, my money's mine again? Are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
Oh crap, I don't look forward to it at all. I got to get all my guns now before all that happens. Anyway,
and you've got two.
I do. I'm hoping the first one is going to do something. Like one of them will do something in the trades or something. I don't know. I'm not that lucky.
I don't see Law as a mechanic.
I don't think so either. But, you know, like you can always hope, I guess. Maybe she'll be a gunsmith. That'd be great.
No, design sneakers.
Anyway, we will talk to you guys next time. Thanks for hanging out. And shoot safe and buy more guns.
And tell us about them.
Absolutely.
On behalf of Jake Buona and I, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. If you're interested in more content like this or podcasts, check us out at hawkseyeguns.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.